I'm Keaton Fletcher, an assistant professor of industrial organizational psychology at Colorado State University, and this is Healthy Work. All right, welcome back to another episode of Healthy Work, and I am joined today by a friend and someone whose research I really admire, and I'm just going to get out of the way and let you introduce yourself.
So hi, everyone. My name is Gordon Sayre. I'm an assistant professor at EM Lyon Business School in France, and I'm really interested in this intersection between our work and our non-work lives, especially in terms of how work demands like emotional labor or work factors like people's pay can sort of impact their psychological health, their physical health outside of work.
Awesome. And that's actually why we have you here is you recently published a paper in the Journal of Applied Psychology with Sam Conroy, a fellow CSU researcher, on pay and health. And I think this is such an important topic, and I just want to know more. And so could you give me a rundown of your review of the pay and health research?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you mentioned, this is a review paper. So we're not gathering our own empirical data here. Instead, what we're doing is just trying to gauge what's been done already, what's out there. And to do that, we started off by kind of combing through the scientific literature, trying to find as many articles as we could that linked some aspect of people's pay to some aspect of their physical or psychological health. And ultimately, we ended up with about 138 articles total. And then afterwards, we started, you know, reading through them, trying to understand them, trying to summarize, like, what are the major trends and patterns that we see within these articles. And then we sort of tried to interpret them through some different theories of occupational health, develop a framework for future researchers to use.
Awesome. And so what was like the biggest takeaway, if you had to boil it down into like one or two things?
So I guess really broad picture, I think there's a consistent pattern where what we are paid, how we are paid, the predictability of our pay, all of that really does impact how people feel physically, how people feel psychologically and emotionally. It can impact, you know, short-term outcomes like feeling stressed or tense at the end of the day. It can impact really big long-term outcomes like disease prevalence. Even things like mortality as well are predicted by people's pay. So I think it's a really important topic that we need to focus more on. And sort of surprisingly, you know, there's not a ton of occupational health research that looks at pay as kind of an important factor or predictor. So I think that's one key takeaway. I guess another key takeaway I would say is that there seems to be a consistent pattern where unpredictability in pay, volatility in pay, any kind of uncertainty in how much we are paid tends to lead to detrimental health outcomes. And there's a lot of different compensation systems that create this kind of volatility and uncertainty. So you think about performance-based pay creates fluctuations in how much you earn on any given day or month or year. You think about tips and gratuity, right? So restaurant servers, bartenders, people working hotels, taxi drivers, you know, they never quite know how much they're going to make on a given day or a given week. You think about any kind of piece rate work, gig work as well is also quite unpredictable in our pay. So it's a common feature that's present in lots of different compensation systems, but it's also one with pretty consistent negative health effects. So I think that's something that we really need to carefully consider and start to address. How can we try and alleviate those problematic effects?
I love that. And then it's so much more than just how much you make, though I do know you have a large section in your paper that talks about simply, you know, the amount of pay. And so a question for you, Gordon. Is it mo money, mo problems? Money makes you happy.
Yeah, so that's a good question. And it's one that the research has tried to address. In general, it seems that mo money does not equal mo problems. It seems that the more people earn, the better off they are. There is some debate about what's the exact shape or nature of this relationship. So basically, is it a solid, positive relationship where the more money you make, the better off you feel, and making 200,000 is better than 100,000, and making 500,000 is better than 300,000? Or is there some kind of curvilinear effect where it sort of levels off, right? So after a certain amount of income, making more money doesn't necessarily help you feel any better physically or psychologically. So there's earlier work that shows there is this curvilinear effect. Research back in 2010 identified the kind of inflection point at around $75,000 per year. So after that amount, making more money doesn't make you more satisfied with your life or feel better about things. There's more recent work, however, that sort of calls that into question and demonstrates a pretty consistent positive relationship. So more money is making you feel better, even if you're already quite well off.
I know also in your article that you guys sort of present your own model. And so if you could just briefly explain to me like how it is that you think, based on the literature, money impacts these broad outcomes at the end of, you know, health and disease, that'd be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So our idea or approach here is to try and divide pay into a couple different unique facets or aspects. So for example, the question you just asked earlier was about pay level, right? How much people are paid. You can also think about what their pay depends on. So like performance-based pay, or hourly-based pay, or salary-based pay. You can think about dispersions in pay. So does everyone in my team earn the same amount of money, or is there a lot of inequality in pay within my team? You can also think about vertical dispersion. So how much more money does my supervisor make than me? How much more money does the CEO make than the median worker, for example? And then finally, you can think about administration in pay. So that's things like how volatile is my pay? How predictable or certain is my pay? Do I have transparency over my pay? And in this model, we sort of argue that each of those four unique aspects of pay impacts health through slightly different mechanisms. So for example, pay level, how much you're paid, that's really important for meeting like your basic needs, right? So putting food on the table, making sure you have a safe place to live, paying rent and mortgage expenses, all the sort of basic stuff. And that obviously is going to have implications for your physical and psychological health. You know, we also argue that performance-based pay, it's designed to enhance the amount of effort that they put into their work. And that can be a good thing, right? It can be energizing to be engaged in our work, but there's also a downside if it gets to be kind of too strong of an incentive. And so that's sort of where performance pay might impact health is by kind of keeping us at this sort of constantly high level of activation. We're always pouring a lot of our energy and effort into our work. That constant activation is going to kind of wear our bodies down and cause harm to our physical and psychological health in the long run. And then the last two dimensions of pay that I talked about, dispersion and administration, we argue are going to affect people's health through largely unfairness perceptions. So people are really focused on fairness at work. They want to feel fairly treated. They want to feel fairly paid. So when you have really high levels of pay dispersion, right, inequality within the organization, that creates more opportunity for feeling unfairly paid. You can also think about pay transparency. That makes it much easier to make comparisons with other people. And that can also create unfairness, which is detrimental to our health as well.
Very cool. And so if I'm an employer, what's something I can do with this?
One recommendation we have is to try and reduce the amount of people's overall compensation that comes from uncertain or volatile sources of pay. So keeping the total amount of compensation the same, but just reducing how much of it depends on people's commission or their performance or their tips, for example. And we think that by doing that, you can preserve the motivational effects of performance-based pay and some of this volatility while also minimizing the harmful effects.
Any other recommendations for managers?
Any steps that managers can take to smooth out the income of their employees can also help reduce this volatility and uncertainty. So for example, you can try and spread commissions and bonuses over a longer time frame. Managers should also really try and prioritize consistent and predictable scheduling as well. So employees that work and are paid hourly, a big part of this fluctuation and uncertainty comes from how many hours they're going to work in a given day or week. And so trying to keep that as consistent as possible is going to also help give people a little bit more peace of mind. I think organizations and managers really need to take a holistic view about the amount that they are paying their employees. And so I would really encourage managers and organizations, when they're thinking about how much to pay employees, to think not only about the bottom line in terms of their payroll obligations, but also the costs of low pay. So, you know, you think about how much higher the turnover rate is. You think about how much time is lost to illnesses, workplace injuries, and accidents as a result of low pay. That also comes at a real financial cost as well. So I think there's a real business case here to paying people a fair wage.
What surprised you while you were doing this? I mean, you read a giant body of literature, and so I'm curious if there's anything that really stood out to you that you weren't expecting.
So I guess one thing that surprised me is sort of how little research has been done on this topic area. So we combed through a large literature. So we looked in industrial organizational psychology, we looked in organizational behavior, management, economics, public health and public policy research, right? All of these labor relations, all of these different disciplines. And it was sort of surprising how little has been focused on this connection between pay and health. Pay is something that's so integral to the work experience, right? It's a key reason why the vast majority of us work. It's of course not the only reason why we work. You know, meaning is also important, and then trying to make a difference and being motivated in lots of different ways, but it is really important. And so it sort of struck me that there hasn't been that much attention placed on trying to understand this relationship between pay and health. You know, we only found 138 articles that met our criteria, which isn't a huge amount. The other thing that surprised me, I would say, is kind of how concentrated the research was. So there's a decent amount of work looking at how pay level impacts people's health. A lot of this research comes from that question you asked me earlier. Does money buy happiness? Do you have more problems with more money? That sort of question. So there's a decent amount of research there. There's also a decent amount of research on how performance-based pay impacts our health. But we know relatively little. There's really few articles and very little understanding about things like pay dispersion, how that impacts our health and well-being. So when there's inequality in pay within an organization, we don't know much about that. And there's very little research on pay administration. So things like volatility, how frequently you're paid, those sort of factors.
Awesome. Seems like the surprising part is just how much more there is to learn, which is part of why I'm an academic. Biggest question for you then, Gordon, why do you do this work?
Yeah, I think I kind of have a two-part answer here. So generally, why am I interested in employee health and well-being? I think I've always been motivated to try and make work just a little bit better for people. And I'm really especially sympathetic to employees in low-wage jobs, precarious jobs, employees in service work, and trying to shine a light on kind of the unique challenges and issues that those employees face. Part of that is just because I see in our field of IO psychology and organizational behavior that there's a lot more attention paid to the problems that managers face, professionals face, executives and leaders face. And I think all of that is obviously important, but my goal is to kind of make sure we don't leave out the little guy. And I think my interest there comes from my own personal background. So I was raised in a tourist town. So there's not many well-paid professional jobs. Most people are working in the hospitality industry or some basic industries, like, you know, you have teachers and nurses and police officers, obviously. You know, a lot of my friends and family have worked in these lower wage, precarious, seasonal type jobs. I spent my high school and college years working in restaurants, and so I was sort of familiar with some of these challenges. And so that's kind of where my interest in the service industry and in lower paid work comes from. In terms of this particular paper, I think I started getting interested in this role of pay, how it impacts our health, how volatility in pay impacts our health. And when I was doing literature reviews to try and figure out what do we already know, it was kind of hard to answer that question. There always seemed like there should be more research than I could find. The research that I did find was really scattered across lots of different disciplines. And that's a problem because then researchers aren't communicating with each other. They're not building off each other's ideas. They're sort of scattered in lots of different directions. And so I just thought there was a real need for this kind of review to bring those different streams together. And so I reached out to Sam Conroy, my co-author on this paper, because I thought she had a really complementary set of skills and expertise. And we started to figure out what's been done.
Well, thank you so much both for doing this work and also for joining me on the podcast. And I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Keaton. It was a pleasure to be on here and chat.
Healthy Work is a podcast written and produced by Keaton Fletcher and Mariana Arvon, mixed and edited by Keaton Fletcher, artwork by Keaton Fletcher, and our music is Zero Micro Song by Steve Combs. Please like us, follow us, and subscribe on whatever podcatching software you use, and leave a review in the iTunes store. It really does help get us out there.